The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you had a great weekend. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. It's all meaningless. It's all a soap bubble. It's all a big nothing. That's what Solomon said about life, and not just every aspect of life, but life under the sun. In the book of Ecclesiastes, that phrase is used 29 times, under the sun, under the sun, under the sun. Solomon went on a search for satisfaction under the sun. What does that mean? Keeping God out, keeping heaven out. Where can I find satisfaction for my soul? And he couldn't find it. He searched high, he searched low, he searched here, he searched there, and he could not find satisfaction. And he ends up by saying, all is vanity, it's all meaningless. Life under the sun, apart from God, will never satisfy the human soul. Well, that's exactly what Scottie Scheffler, the golf phenom, the man who won the 153rd Open Championship, used to be called the British Open, now it's just the Open Championship. He won it yesterday, won it by 4 strokes, won it in a runaway. He was 4 strokes ahead of the competition, finished 17 under par. And he was asked about his achievements on the golf course before the tournament. This is what he had to say.
You know, I think it's kind of funny. I think, you know, I think I said something after the Byron this year about, like, it feels like you work your whole life to celebrate winning a tournament for like a few minutes. It only lasts a few minutes, that kind of euphoric feeling. And I like to win the Byron Nelson Championship at home. I literally worked my entire life to become good at golf, to have an opportunity to win that tournament. And you win it, you celebrate, get to hug my family, my sister's there. It's such an amazing moment. And then it's like, okay, now what are we gonna eat for dinner? You know, life goes on. Is it great to be able to win tournaments and to accomplish the things I have in the game of golf? Yeah, I mean, it brings tears to my eyes just to think about, because it's literally worked my entire life to become good at this sport, and to have that kind of sense of accomplishment, I think is a pretty cool feeling. You know, to get to live out your dreams is very special. But at the end of the day, it's like, I'm not out here to inspire the next generation of golfers. I'm not here to inspire somebody else to be the best player in the world, because what's the point? You know, this is not a fulfilling life. It's fulfilling from the sense of accomplishment, but it's not fulfilling from a sense of like the deepest, you know, places of your heart. You know, there's a lot of people that make it to what they thought was going to fulfill them in life, and then you get there and all of a sudden you get to number one in the world, and then they're like, what's the point? And, you know, I really do believe that, because, you know, what is the point?
That's exactly what Solomon said. So here is the man that's risen to the top of the golfing world, the best player in the world. And as the other golfers will tell you, he's on a different level. I mean, there's all the other golfers, and then there's Scottie Scheffler, who is winning at an incredible rate, 29 years old, married, loves his wife, loves his little son, Bennett, and just has his head screwed on straight. This was after he won the Open Championship. They were interviewing him. This is what he had to say.
This is not the be-all, end-all for me, but I'm extremely grateful for it. I mean, I have, kid you not, I have worked since I was 2 or 3 years old to have a chance to play professional golf for a living. And now I've been able to win tournaments that I just dreamed of playing in, and it's an amazing feeling, and I'm so grateful to be able to live out my dreams. But, you know, like I said, my faith and my family is what's most important to me, and I try to live as normal a life as possible because I feel like a normal guy. I have the same friends I had growing up. I don't think that I'm anything special just because, you know, some weeks I'm better at shooting a lower score than other guys are.
Yeah, I love that about him. He understands what it's all about. Now, here's the contrast. See, because we live in a world where people are chasing money, they're chasing fame, they're chasing success. For what purpose? Because they think that will satisfy them. You know, the book of Ecclesiastes is an interesting book. It doesn't seem to fit with the Bible, where it starts off vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And they're like, well, what in the world? I mean, I thought that we're supposed to have, Jesus came that we might have life and might have it abundantly. But the key is under the sun. So life under the sun, if you divorce your life from God to try and find satisfaction there, you're never going to find it. And Scotty understands that because he has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He knows that faith in the Lord is the most important thing. And right underneath that is his love for his wife and for his family. And then golf is down the line from that. I heard him say in that same interview before the Open Championship that, you know, if golf started to come before his relationship with the Lord or his family, he would quit because he's not going to let that become an idol in his life. And so God is able to entrust lots of things with him. Now, does he work hard? Yes. You don't get to be the best golfer in the world by, you know, mailing it in. I think I'll just go watch another repeat of Happy Gilmore, and that'll make me better at golf. I mean, you got to get out there. He talks about, I get up in the morning, I do my workout, I go to the golf course, I hit a zillion balls, I play around, I keep working on my putting and my chipping and my striking the ball. He does all those things. But he is able to keep it in perspective. Now, some of you may remember that Tom Brady, who is considered the greatest quarterback of all time with all the Super Bowl wins that he has had, this was an interview that he did after winning 3 Super Bowls. He won more after that. But this is probably an interview from 15 years ago or so. And he was asked about this.
But with all that money, fame, and career accomplishments, we were surprised to hear this from him.
Why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me? I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey, man, this is what it is. I reached my goal, my dream, my life is me. I think it's got to be more than this.
What's the answer?
I wish I knew. I love playing football and I love being the quarterback for this team. But at the same time, I think there's a lot of other parts about me that I'm trying to find.
So he is the one that bought into this idea that, man, if you achieve this, that's where you're going to find satisfaction for your soul. And he's achieved it at that time, 3 Super Bowls and all the fame and the fortune that goes along with that. And you could just see when you watch that clip, you can go to YouTube and watch the clip. He kind of looks, there's almost like a tear in his eye. And he said, I wish I knew. He's trying to find satisfaction. It's obviously not found in being the best quarterback in the NFL. It's not found in winning the Super Bowl. As Scottie Scheffler said, yeah, that's a euphoric feeling for a few minutes, but then it goes away. I love what Ted Turner, billionaire Ted Turner, had to say. He was being interviewed one time and they were asking him about wealth and, you know, rising to the top and having $1 billion. Of course, $1 billion today, when you have these multi-billionaires, you know, guys like Elon Musk and Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos, you know, where you get into, I'm a billionaire, 100 billion, 150 billion. And then you have Elon Musk, who blows them all away with a net worth of, what are they, $350, $400 billion. And then it's like, well, good night. You know, I'm a billionaire, but I'm a, you know, low on the totem pole billionaire. Donald Trump is a billionaire, but I think his net worth is $7 or $8 billion. Mark Cuban is $6 billion. You know, those guys don't compare at all to a guy that's got a net worth of $400 billion. There's always a bigger dog in the fight. But here's the thing that Ted Turner said. So billionaire Ted Turner, back in the day when we thought, man, you're a billionaire, you're really something. He was interviewed and he said this about wealth. He said it's kind of like a paper bag. He said everyone is striving to get the paper bag. And he said, and if you're able to get the paper bag and you look inside of it, you find that it's empty. There's not satisfaction in riches. That's exactly what Jesus said when he told about the parable, the sower and the seed. And the, you remember the seed, some fell on the road and the birds took it away. That's the hard heart. Some fell on the shallow soil. And that is the person who receives the word right away, but he doesn't count the cost, doesn't see it through. And when the son of persecution comes up, then he falls away because he has no firm root in himself. He's just shallow. And then he talks about the seed that falls on the rocky soil. He said, in a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places who, when they hear the word, and others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. So you have the hard pan, then you have the rocky soil, then you have the thorny soil. And he said, the people on with the heart like the thorny soil, these are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. That's Mark chapter 4, verse 19. The deceitfulness of riches. I've always wondered about that. How do riches deceive? Well, they deceive in this way. They tell you that they will satisfy. They tell you that's what you need. If you just had more money, that would solve all your problems. All you need is to win the lottery. All you need is more money. Have you ever followed the stories of people who have won the lottery, won big? It's typically not a good outcome. I ran across this from Donna Mikkin, M-I-K-K-I-N. She said, my life was hijacked by the lottery. She won $34.5 million in the New York State Lottery in 2007. She said the big win ruined her life and led to emotional bankruptcy. Most of us think that winning the lottery is the ultimate fulfillment, but I found that wasn't the case, she said. Most people look at winning the lottery as some magic pot of gold waiting for you at the end of the rainbow, but it's not that way. She said this, she considered herself, quote, a happy person before she won the lottery, and then she said, if you ask me, my life was hijacked by the lottery. How interesting. Because you make all this money and you get all this money and you think, now I have it. I have the paper bag. And you look into the paper bag and find, guess what? It is empty. It is empty. Scotty Scheffler, he understands that. He understands that you're not going to find happiness and satisfaction for your soul from money, from success, from fame. All that stuff is fleeting. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Ecclesiastes, Solomon goes on to say, for who can eat and who can have enjoyment without him? The answer is nobody. You're not going to find satisfaction in this world. You find satisfaction in a relationship with the Lord through his son, Jesus Christ. Augustine had the famous saying, Lord, our souls are restless until they find their rest in you, because God has made us for himself. And the only one who can satisfy you is the God who made you, and having a relationship with him. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about what everybody's talking about, and that is the famous embrace at the Coldplay concert that has ruined the lives of Andy Byron and Kristen Cabot. We'll be right back after the break. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We've been talking about vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. And how Scottie Scheffler, the number one golfer in the world, has his priorities so right. It is God. It is his wife. It is his son. And work comes after that. And so he is putting things in proper perspective, and he does not try and find satisfaction in his golf game, in his success. He doesn't live and die by that. He says, if that comes before these other things, faith and family, then I'm going to let that go. Now, he's been extremely successful, and he's worked very hard to be extremely successful. I think his lifetime earnings on the course, I looked that up on AI, and it said $150 million. He's 29 years old. He's winning a lot. He's already won four major tournaments, and in golf you have tournaments, then you have major tournaments. He's won four, and he's well on his way to setting maybe even a record, maybe approaching Tiger or Jack Nicklaus, and those are two huge names in golf. But he doesn't take himself seriously. I mean, I think Scotty, he said, I have the same friends I had when I was in high school. And hangs out with guys, likes to play hoops, likes to play golf with guys that aren't in his league, just guys he grew up with, probably played on the high school golf team with him. And he said, you can make golf fun. You give people strokes and make it competitive. But such a cool guy. I've never met Scottie Scheffler. I'd love to, and because he just seems like a down-to-earth kind of fellow. But he understands you're not going to find satisfaction in those things that so many people look for to satisfy the human soul. You can't do it. Who can eat and who can have enjoyment without him? Answer, no one. Bible says in Psalm 128, how blessed, how happy is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy, and it will be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed, for thus shall the man be happy who fears the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's beginning the beginning of knowledge. Now, just as a side note, Elon Musk was talking about he's back to sleeping in the factory and pouring himself into Tesla and all the things that he's doing. And, he says it's debilitating to the body and to the mind. That guy is super smart, obviously, in certain areas, certain things. But the Bible calls him a fool because the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And he's trying to find satisfaction in achievement. He already knows you can't. Rich people know that there's not satisfaction in riches because they have it. They're Ted Turner. They have the paper bag and they realize this is empty. So does Elon Musk realize that you're not going to find satisfaction in another $1 billion? I mean, if you're worth $400 billion, $100 billion here or there, you lose $100, you gain $100. Does it change anything? No. I mean, you have more money than you could spend in 100 lifetimes. And so you can do fun stuff with your money. You can use your money to really bless a lot of people. But he's barking up the wrong tree. And although he's so smart, he's really a fool. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He doesn't acknowledge the Lord in his life. He needs to do that because he could really, you know, everything would change for him. He could find satisfaction because you're not going to find it under the sun. As Solomon said, Solomon, who had everything under the sun, he had wealth, he had achievement, he had prestige, he had success upon success upon success. He had women. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Those are girlfriends, not porcupines. They're concubines, they're girlfriends. You have a thousand women that are there at your beck and call. He didn't find satisfaction in that. He said, I hated life. He said, as he closes up the book of Ecclesiastes, the conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For the Lord will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Now, that brings me to what I want to talk about in this next segment, and that is the destruction of the lives of two people, Andy Byron, the former CEO of Astronomer, a data infrastructure startup company that just went off like a rocket, and his human resource manager, Kristen Cabot. They went to a concert, just a Coldplay concert. It seemed like, hey, this is going to be a lot of fun. It was on Wednesday night, and the Kiss Cam came by. They're at Gillette Stadium with a whole stadium full of people in Boston on Wednesday night, July 16th, and they were captured on a Kiss Cam, camera that was just going around looking at couples. And the way they handled that, obviously, the guy on stage said, either those people are extremely shy or they're having an affair. Well, bingo, they were having an affair. Andy Byron is married with kids. Kristen Cabot is married with kids. And they have become the laughingstock of the nation and even around the world. That video and the way they handled that just went viral. You know, I think it was Megyn Kelly who said, you know, they were obviously so guilty. The guilt was written all over their face as they quickly disengaged their embrace, and he sunk down and she turned her back and hid her face. And, you know, it's a sad thing. It brings to the forefront Numbers 32:23, which says this: be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out. And we have all these memes going around with two people hugging, and people are having a big time and a fun time and laughing at the demise of these two people. Well, I get it from one standpoint. And what they did was horrible. But I think about this, too. I think about their families, their spouses at home, their children. I mean, you have that shame just splatters to that spouse that didn't do anything of this sort, to those kids that didn't do anything. They're collateral damage. Andy Byron had to resign. So this happened on the 16th of July, Wednesday night. He resigned on July 20th. He resigned yesterday from his position. First, he was put on leave, and then he resigned. Kristen Cabot, I don't know what's going to happen to her. She's on leave right now. I don't see how you come back from this. But here's the thing I want you to think about, because from a couple of different angles. Number one, what they experienced before a watching world, and that video that has gone viral and has been seen by, I think, 45 million people or more on TikTok and X and other social media platforms, that look of horror on their faces, that's going to be played out in real life in everyone who rejects Christ, ignores Christ, neglects Christ. Because one day there is coming judgment. As Paul said on Mars Hill when he preached in Athens, God is now declaring that all men everywhere should repent because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. One day, as the Bible says in Revelation 20, where we read about the great white throne judgment, the final judgment, the end of it all, you know, how does the world end? Well, the last thing in this age that takes place is the judgment of unbelievers. Before the eternal state, Genesis 21 or Revelation 21 and 22 talk about the eternal state, the new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. But the last thing that the Lord does before we enter into this eternal state, where no new people are born, where everything is set, everything is fixed, and we are going to experience heaven forever with the Lord, and we're going to see his face. The last thing he does is the judgment of the unbelievers, called the Great White Throne Judgment. It says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them." It's a terrifying experience. Earth and heaven don't want to be there. It is a terrifying thing, the writer of Hebrews says, to fall into the hands of the living God. "And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds." Did you know that God writes down and he records all our sins? He does. And so people think, the average person on the street, when you ask them, "Hey, if you were to die, stand before God, and he were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven?" Their answer is always their good deeds. "Well, I did this and I did that and I did the other and I was a good person and I gave some money to feed the poor and I did a good job raising my family and I worked hard and I went to church periodically, Christmas and Easter or maybe some other times, special times in there. I was baptized. I joined a church." They come up with all these good deeds, and they think that their good deeds are going to get them in heaven. They have this idea that God is like Santa Claus. He's making a list and checking it twice, going to find out who's naughty and nice. And heaven is like, whether you go to heaven or not, it's kind of like a big scale in chemistry class. You know, you have a scale where you put something on one side and something on the other, and it's seen, you know, you balance it out. And they think that this is how it works, that God puts, he piles all your good works on one side of the scale, all your bad works on another side of the scale. And if your good works outweigh your bad works, well, you made it to heaven. But if your bad works outweigh your good works, you didn't make it. That's not how it works. That is a lie that so many people believe. And people who think they're going to get to heaven by their good works, this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to stand before the great white throne judgment, and God is going to open up the books, and he's going to read you the record of all your sins, and you are going to be caught with your mouth agape, and you see how sinful you are. Really are before the thrice holy God of the universe, and you are going to be without excuse. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every one of them according to their deeds, and death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if any man's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Now, We had David Allen on the program last week, and he was talking about his new book. David Allen is a non-Calvinist, and he wrote on the book of Romans, Liberating Romans from Reformed Captivity. And I'm a non-Calvinist myself. I believe that man is totally depraved, can't save himself. But as David Allen said, you know, total depravity doesn't mean total inability. And if God opens your eyes and convicts your heart and shows you how you need Jesus, you must respond to that. And if you don't respond to that, well, that is a choice that you made that is going to affect you for all eternity. So the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. You ask yourself this question: why does God open up the book of life at the great white throne judgment? Because the only people there are unbelievers. Nobody's name is in the book of life. Why would you open the book of life when when nobody's name is in there? Well, I think it's because the Lord is saying to every single person before they are cast into hell, hey, I died for you. I gave my life for you. I paid the price for you. Limited atonement, not from the standpoint of it was impossible for you to be saved because I didn't die for you. No, he did die for you. 1 John chapter 2, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. Jesus died for the whole world. Now, it doesn't take effect on everybody. Just because he died for the whole world doesn't mean the whole world is going to be saved. They're not. But there's the ability. The Lord has made a way for the whole world. And so the book of life is open to show every single person your name could have been in here. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that if you would have believed in him, you would have had eternal life. You know, I think that we need to pray for Andy Byron and Kristen Cabot because their lives have been destroyed and their families have been irreparably harmed. And they did it to themselves, but compassion says, hey, we don't want to see anybody have that. And I pray for them that God would bring a prodigal son moment to their hearts, that they would come to their senses and they'd see a Savior who loves them, who died on the cross for them and rose again from the dead. And they would come and they would find forgiveness and restoration in the arms of Jesus. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, I'd love to hear from you. We've been talking about Scottie Scheffler and Vanity of Vanity, says the preacher. And we've been talking about Numbers 32. Be sure, your sin will find you out. We'll be right back.
Candace talks about finding out she was pregnant. Thankfully, an ultrasound provided by Preborn allowed her to hear her baby's heartbeat.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
Preborn currently has clinics that do not have ultrasound machines. Would you consider a leadership gift and sponsor a machine today? These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most centers can afford. Your donation will save countless lives for years to come. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. If you have a question or comment, I'd love to hear from you. We're going to open the phone lines for this segment, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. In the last segment, we were talking about the Coldplay concert from Wednesday, Andy Byron and Kristen Cabot, two married people who were there cuddling in front of the crowd, not thinking anything about it until the kiss cam came on them and they were living proof of Numbers 32:23, be sure your sin will find you out. And people have had a lot of fun and a big laugh at their expense. And, you know, I just feel for those folks because have I laughed at some of the memes? Yes. But then when I think about the destruction of their lives and how they have brought it on themselves, but compassion still says, you know, what if that were you? You know, what if it was put on a kiss cam, so to speak? What if it was put on the big screen? What if it was shared around the world? Some of your sins, how would you feel? You would want compassion. I love that the Lord says of himself in Exodus 34 when he revealed himself to Moses. Moses prayed, Lord, show me your glory. And the Lord says, well, I'll let you see, you know, the backside of my glory. You can see the edges of my glory. No man can see my face and live. And then he passed by Moses. He put him in the cleft of the rock and he covered him there with his hand. And as he passed by, he said, the Lord God, Yahweh, Yahweh, Elohim, compassionate and gracious. That's the first thing God says about himself. I'm compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. Hey, those two people definitely need compassion. They need grace. There but for the grace of God go I, this statement says. And, you know, I just think, good night. I mean, this is the pivotal moment in their lives. They could do what Judas did and go out and hang themselves. They could go kill themselves and just say, my life is over. I'm a laughing stock. I've ruined everything. I just don't want to live anymore. And they could lose hope that it's going to get better. It will get better if they just hang on. But they need to allow this to bring them into a personal relationship with Jesus. You know, the prodigal was at the pigsty and he came to his senses. When he came to his senses, longing to eat the pig slop, then he said, wait a minute, why am I doing this? There, do not my father's hired men, don't they have food to eat? They don't eat pig slop. And he says, I will get up and go to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. And he got up and left. We pray that for Andy Byron and Kristen Cabot, that they would get up from the pigsty of sin, that they would acknowledge and confess their sin. As David said in Psalm 32, verse 5, I acknowledge my sin to you and my iniquity I did not hide. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Remember this, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And you and I need to take what happened to them as a wake-up call to our own lives. And we want to walk in the light as he himself is in the light. We want to bring everything into the light. As I've said before, and I learned this from Dr. Sudhir Jayaprabhu, and he talked about the three parts of a person's life: your public life, your private life, and your secret life. You want to bring all three of those parts of your life into the light with Jesus. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, in our public life, in our private life, in our secret life, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we're dealing with everything, we're bringing everything to the Lord, then we have fellowship with one another, with us and God, and the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Well, the number to call is 888-589-8840. I'd love to talk to you. And we have Scott on the line from Mississippi. Scott, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Morning, Pastor Jeff.
Good morning.
Your discussion this morning reminds me of something, a term, I'm not sure when the term was coined or not, but it's very applicable to every one of us and goes in line with Galatians 2:20. Talks about being crucified with Christ. Not I live, but Christ who lives in me. Christ in us, the hope of glory. But the term I thought of first when I heard you start talking this morning was God-shaped vacuum. Mm-hmm. And we've all heard that, and we all have that. And there's only one way that that can be filled successfully, and we all know that if we don't fill it with God, something else is going to swoop in and fill it, every nook and cranny of it. And I'm just thinking about how much not our nation, but each one of us personally need revival. We just need breakthrough to revival and true repentance, like you talked about this morning. So I just pray for our nation, but I pray for this world, and we know who's running rampant on this earth, in charge for a short time. Mm-hmm. And I just pray that each person will find that way to allow themselves to be crucified with Christ, so that self is not on the throne. We know one of those two is going to be on the throne every day, self or Christ, and we decide that ourselves, because we have the volition to do so, because of God's wonderful glory and presence, and what his purpose and plan for our redemption. Thank you for what you do every day, and you keep pounding the Word of God, because it really means a lot. You and John MacArthur and Adrian Rogers and all these people, whether their words live after their earthly lives or whether they're still running roughshod over the world like you are today, we need the Word of God to be right in front of our eyes, and not just posted on our doorpost, but right in front of our face all day, every day. Thank you very much, Pastor Jeff.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate that so much. Thanks for those comments. Yeah, it was Blaise Pascal, the French mathematician, who came up with that God-shaped vacuum. And he said, you know, that's the missing piece. And you're never going to find satisfaction in life until you have that relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Now, you can try and fill that hole in your heart with all sorts of other things. As Tom Brady, you know, he has all this success and all the financial benefit of being the greatest, one of the greatest quarterbacks who ever lived, and all the Super Bowl rings and all. But that's short-lived, as Scottie Scheffler said. Okay, so you have euphoria for a few minutes. But then, you know, after that wears off and your family knows who you are, they don't look at you like you're this, you know, great person, this other realm of human being. You're just a human being. And at the end of the day, he loves to use that little phrase, the end of the day. But at the end of the day, that's who you are. And we're only going to find satisfaction in Jesus, because that's how he created us. Who can eat? And who can find satisfaction without him? Answer, no one. No one. And in that God-shaped vacuum, the only piece that fits, the only piece that satisfies, is a relationship with the Lord. Now, the devil will work hard to get you off of there, to get you kind of like as it says in James chapter 1, he goes fishing. And he puts bait on the hook, and these temptations that appeal to the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. He puts that on there to get our eyes off Jesus and to go after that shiny lure, as the fish does. And he goes after that artificial bait because it looks so good. And when he bites down on it, he realizes, uh-oh, that had a hook in it. Hey, Andy Byron and Kristen Cabot were having a great time at the Coldplay concert until everything was exposed and life was changed in a moment. And we pray that they would come to Christ through this terrible, horrible situation that has happened, befallen them by their own hands, by their own doing. But to be exposed like that, it's a word of warning to all of us. Be sure your sin will find you out. We have Linda on the line from Texas. Linda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. Appreciate your program. Always tuned in. But what I called and said something really, but I love what you just did. You prayed for them. I just really felt like, and just God was really speaking to my heart about when everybody was going to throw stones, you know, at this woman, And the Lord drew a line in the sand, and he said, "You who are not guilty, throw that first stone." Mm-hmm. And everybody just kind of, you know, disappeared. But you blessed me with what you just said, because I thought, God, we just need to pray for this situation. Mm-hmm. And that every time I read that word gossip in Proverbs, it's like I stop and I write down, Lord, please do not let me be guilty of this. Mm-hmm. And so my heart was so troubled, sir, that I thought, Lord, you know, and I agree with you, you know, that we need to pray for this couple, for this family. I mean, for the, you know, it just grieves our heart what we see in the world. But anyway, that's why I called. It was just God to help us, because how many, you know, oh, good, they're, you know, they got them or they were exposed or whatever. Mm-hmm. But in our own lives, are we guilty of things like this? So that's why I called.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Linda. I mean, I don't know anybody that would want to have everything in their life exposed and put on the big screen and let the world see, you know, what's behind the curtain, so to speak. That's why we need to do all that we can to get our lives in line, that public life, private life, secret life, to get them in the light. I remember Adrian Rogers, he said one time, I think he was quoting from Peter Lord, he said, when people say bad things about you, Peter Lord was quoted as saying this, I just say, God, thank you that they don't know more about me, because he knew that he was a sinner in desperate need of a Savior. And, you know, if all our thoughts were on the big screen, the things that we can hide from other people, the jealousies and the bitternesses and the lust and the greed, all those things, if all that was on display, I mean, how horrible. Now, that is on display to God, because the eyes of the Lord are in every place watching the evil and the good. And so I thought this morning about Moses, how he kills an Egyptian. And the Bible says he looked this way and that way. He looked to the left, he looked to the right, didn't see anybody, so I can get away with this. He didn't look up. God saw what he did, and it became known. The Bible says if we conceal our transgressions, we will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. Hey, if you try and cover up your sin, God will uncover it. But if you cover your sin with the blood of Jesus, if you openly confess it to him and forsake it, then he covers it in his blood, and he washes it white as snow. And as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. And he remembers our sins against us no more. As Corrie ten Boom says, he buries our sin in the deepest sea, and then he posts a sign that says no fishing. He's not going to bring that up again. And there is therefore, Romans 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and of death. You know, I love the story, Luke chapter 7. We'll close out with this. But Luke chapter 7 is the story of the prostitute who comes and weeps at Jesus' feet. And, you know, she comes to the house of Simon the Pharisee. She broke through to get to Jesus. She was so driven to get to Jesus, and she was so broken over her sin, and she just weeps at his feet. And Simon can't believe the woman has the audacity to come to his home, and then that Jesus would allow this woman to touch her. And he says to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she's a sinner. She's a prostitute. And then remember Jesus said about the two debtors, Simon, I have something to ask you. Money lender had two debtors. One owed him 500 days wages and the other 50. When they were unable to pay, he graciously forgave them both. Which of them will love him the more? He says, well, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said, you have judged correctly. And he said, this woman, her sins are many, but she loved much. And he said, that's why I say to her, her sins have been forgiven. For he who's forgiven little loves little. And he says to her, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. I think about that a lot. Your sins have been forgiven. What a wonderful thing to latch on to. Your faith has saved you. You're forgiven, you're saved, and now go in peace. I pray that for Andy Byron and Kristen Cabot, that they would come before the Lord brokenhearted, would confess their sin to Him, would own it, and just receive Christ as Savior and King. That can happen. And that can happen to you today, friend, too, if you've never come to Christ. You can hear Him say, your sins are forgiven, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and I'll be with you again tomorrow. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.